your side.
Sanctification. Let it cleanse me through this morning. Somebody pray that prayer. Send to me your word of holiness, your word of righteousness, your word of sanctification. Cleanse me this morning. Make me clean. Make me holy. Sanctify me, Lord. Cleanse me from all filthiness, filthiness of the spirit, filthiness of the flesh. Make me clean inside out, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, we are praying. Please get seated. And if you can, give Jesus a very big hand. Hallelujah. Shout a shout of victory to the Lord this morning. I have dominion. With joy, I welcome you on the behalf of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, in today's holy assembly this morning, with full assurance that we've come to the blood of Jesus, the blood of cleansing. Every contamination shall be cleansed away from our lives today. I thought that that prayer includes you. Let your amen show it right now. It's also our pre-Shiloh encounter service. In the first service, we had 18 testimonies, including those who believe they have been healed of sickle cell anemia and cancer, and they will return after the medical check to share their testimonies. And I know that this morning, whatever God will do at Shiloh 2019, you will have a taste of it today in the name of Jesus. I'm grateful to God you believe enough to say a loud amen to them. The prophetic focus for this month is godliness is profitable unto all things. This is the only thing that God's word said is profitable to all things. That is, you will never lose living a godly life. You will never lose. You don't lose living like God. You lose living like the devil. You lose nothing practicing godliness. Godliness means godlikeness. Godliness means God's duplicate. And if you do that, whatever God experiences becomes your experience. It's like we say, like Father, like Son. Live like the Father. Enjoy like the Father. From today, godliness will become a permanent way of living for you. Amen. Say loud amen. Amen. The series of teaching every Sunday this month is captioned, Godliness Empowers Believers for All-Round Breakthroughs. And we're looking at part 2B in this service. We are reminded again this morning that heaven is the final destination of children of God. If you miss heaven, you have lost everything. If it is only in this world that we have hope, then our faith is in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Everything in this world will end in this world. Everything. Car, house, cloth, beauty, handsomeness. Everything will end in this world. In all probability, every one of us here before have seen a dead body. Once a man dies, he's packaged in his body to go to where he started from. Billionaire, they call him. Give him biro to sign the check. He can't sign again. Call him. He can't answer again. He has gold telephone handset. He can't hold it again. The ring on his finger, $20,000. They will remove it from his hand. They will argue over the coffin they should buy. Some will say it's a waste. How can we be wasting money by coffin? And this is a man who had control of his money. Everything in this world will end in this world. Please humble yourself. The word of God says, it is certain. He said, we came to this world with nothing. And it is certain that we shall not leave this world with anything. Siren blowing in your front. Siren behind you. Security vehicle that you are inside. You are dead. You are dead. No remedy. No recovery. No recall. Heaven must be your target. Say with me, heaven is my target. It is the place of the overcomers. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, verse 11, verse 17, verse 26. It is our place of final victory and overcoming. It is for this reason that Satan doesn't want you to get there. He wants you to suffer here and suffer there. And what he does is to confront us with sin. The greatest entrance to heaven is sin. Sin. Righteousness will make you candidate of heaven. Sin will make you candidate of hell. Sinners will end up with the devil. Righteous people will end up with God. The line is clearly drawn. Satan is the father of sin. God is the father of righteousness. Make your choice that you will not end with the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober. Be sober. Don't get too excited living in sin. They call you different names today as the socialite of the community. Everywhere you go, people are boisterous. You are a socialite. They call you Jaye Jaye boy, Jaye Jaye girl. After a while, you become Jia Jia girl. Be sober. Remember that there's an end for everything. And be vigilant. Satan is trailing you. He wants to catch you. He's after you as the roaring lion. He is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He will not get you. And therefore resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him. Resist sin. Resist sin. Refuse sin. Flee unrighteousness. Refuse like Joseph. He doesn't want you to get there. Say, I must get there. I didn't hear you very well. You know, the good news this morning is that every temptation to sin is overcomable. I'm glad some people are saying amen. So me, I can overcome. And I will overcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There are no temptation that comes your way that is not common to man. It's common to man. Is common to man. You are not the only one tempted. No. Jesus, our Lord, was tempted in all points. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Yet without sin. And Jesus left us example that we should walk in his step. If Jesus did not sin, say with me, I cannot sin. I didn't hear you very well. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He was tempted. Tempted with fornication. Tempted with adultery. Tempted with smoking. Tempted with drug abuse. Yet, he did not sin. Look at verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Building up on verse 15. He was tempted. For he, in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are being tempted. He was tempted at all points, yet without sin. You will not fall into sin again. I say you will not fall into sin again. You will not fall into sin again. Ask me, Pastor, do you also get tempted? Plenty of times. Plenty, oh, plenty. Plenty. As a matter of fact, the higher you go, the more you are tempted. Tempted with fornication. Tempted with adultery. Tempted with stealing. Tempted with lying on the altar. Tempted with exaggerations of testimony. I'm tempted like you are tempted. I am not exempted. You are not exempted. Jesus was not exempted. So don't go about complaining that Satan is tempting me. Satan is tempting me. That's not news. That's not news. That's not news. It's not news. As a young man, we are young youths. We are usually being tempted. I was a youth before. I never knew any woman in my life until I got married. Was I not tempted? Plenty, plenty, plenty. Till now, tempted. If you don't want to be tempted again, tell them to start digging your grave. That's the only way to escape. Jesus was tempted in all points. I'm going this way so that you will know that it is not strange to be tempted. You didn't fall because you attempted. You fell because you didn't resist. All of you young people, you better hear me very well. Hear me very well. Don't confuse anybody that you're a youth. All of us have been youths before. All of us have been youths before. You heard that? You too? Shut up. Amen. Amen. I've shared this testimony a number of times. When I was a student, a roommate of mine brought a girl to the room. And he knew I was there. It was a test of my faith. They were about to mess up. I said, stop! In the name of Jesus. Amen. He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, no, both of you, listen to me here now. If you dare that again, you are gone. If I didn't do that, one next is coming, he will come with a second girl. One for himself, one for me. Amen. I was about 19 years old then, but I will not compromise. About 19, 20 years old, I will not compromise. I will not compromise. Did they put burukutu in your mouth? Is it not you who went there? And I said, you are tempted. Tempted for what? Did they put cigarette in your mouth? Is it not you who went, took your money and bought it? Did you resist on the way? No. Stop making excuses. When you want to be free from sickness, do you know how you resisted? Cancer, I bind you. I bind you. I bind you. I bind you. In Jesus' name, no more cancer for me. Now it is time to commit adultery. No resistance. I'm not saying this in human strength. I'm saying it to you so that you can know that you too can practice your way to it. You will overcome. Yeah. I say you will overcome. Yeah. Now, we began to examine the forces of ungodliness. Please note, ungodliness is the opposite of godliness. But we must overcome them. So me, I must overcome. I didn't hear you very well. Say it again. Let the devil know it is battle between you and him. You must overcome. Now, we looking at two forces to overcome here. Two forces of ungodliness. Number one is the spirit of disobedience. Disobedience is a spirit. Not all who disobey wanted to disobey, but they were overpowered by the spirit of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Wherein in time past, you walked, verse 1. And you at he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin, you were. You see, the scripture is talking about your past now. You were. You are no longer. Verse 2. Wherein in time past. You see, living in sin for you as a child of God is a mistake. You are not meant to be there. That's why if you fell into sin, quickly jack up. Don't ask, why did I fall into sin? Quickly stand up. If you ask that question, Satan will make it happen again. Wherein in time past, you walk according to the course, according to the program, according to the schedule of this world, according to the prince, the principal of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, and you are not one of them, so it doesn't belong to it. It does not hold you down. The spirit of disobedience, very real, walking everywhere. But I discovered this morning that spirit is very fundamental, demonic force. As a matter of fact, the spirit of disobedience is what opens the door to all other evil spirits. How do I know that? The number one thing Satan did to destroy man in the garden was disobedience. Disobedience opened the door to the curses that came upon man. That's why it's crucial for you to overcome that spirit. Say with me, I overcome the spirit of disobedience. Say it very tenaciously. When Jesus came, Satan tempted him with the spirit of disobedience. What is disobedience? Simply put, going contrary to instructions. Going contrary to instructions. Obedience means compliance with instruction. Disobedience means going contrary to it. Without thinking of the repercussion, Satan will not let you see the end. Look at a wonderful man, the first king in Israel, chosen by God himself. Chosen by God himself. It was God who chose Samuel and Saul and anointed him through Samuel. But the spirit of disobedience came heavily upon him. Chapter 14, all of that happened. And in chapter 15, the judgment came. Get time to read from verses, the entire chapter 14, the entire chapter 15. The Lord sent him, go and destroy the Amalekites. Destroy them with their cattle. Don't spare anything. And Saul said, that's all right, we'll go. But they spare the animals. And the Lord said, I directed you to go and do that. You didn't do it. Your kingdom is taken away from you. Your kingdom is taken away from you. Nothing gets God angry with man like disobedience. Obedience is described as witchcraft trade. Chapter 15, verse 23. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken to the fights of Ram. He said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity of adultery. Can you see that? Disobedience to rebellion to stubbornness. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected you from being king. Reject instruction, face destruction. Reject instruction, face destruction. That's what it means. You need to see the implication of disobedience. Inside disobedience is destruction. When you conceive disobedience, you deliver destruction. No disobedient person can escape destruction. That's what it means. Please take this serious. Disobedience disconnected man from God. We know that in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. Disobedience is the spirit of argument and negotiation with instruction. You saw how Satan came to Eve in chapter 3. Did God say you should not eat of the fruit? Negotiation. No, that's not what God meant. No, it's not as serious. Satan tells you that what God told you is not as serious. He will be twisting scriptures with you just to confuse you. Oh, you can drink. Just make sure it's not in excess. Did you not hear Paul told Timothy to drink some little wine? You can marry a second wife now. Don't you see? David, a lover of God, had more than one wife. Negotiation. 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 Don't negotiate instructions because destruction is waiting. The spirit of disobedience will move you to take the word of God with levity. No, it's not as serious as the bishop says. You know, the bishop is always looking too serious. No. You know, that's what I don't like in that church. They take things too serious. What is in kissing somebody you want to marry? Just kiss. It will make you negotiate and negotiate with instruction until he negotiates you into destruction. Be firm. Partial disobedience is disobedience. Stand strong in what God commands you to do. If you don't understand that, consult with Eve. She will tell you the woes of her life. Number two spirit we must overcome is what we call the lying spirit. It's the spirit of deceit, the spirit of fraudulence. And that spirit is usually persuasive. It takes people beyond their ability to control themselves. Most liars, they didn't want to lie. They just find themselves lying because that spirit's upon them. 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 22 to 23. It came so heavily even upon prophets. Prophets were lying. Don't be surprised today when you see pastors lying. People do evil or stop doing evil not by reason of their status, but by the reason of their submission to the spirit that controls this world. You can be a pastor and be lying. You can be a prophet and be lying. You can be an apostle and be lying. Saying things that are not real. Using facts to display truth. Lying. Exaggeration. In that passage, a spirit stood before the Lord and said, I'm a lying spirit. I will go forth. I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. In the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Can you see? The spirit of lying is a spirit of persuasion. Perverting the truth and making it look, perverting the truth and making it look as real. May you not come across liars, though. When they speak like this, you just believe them. You just believe that, I know, this cannot be anything but the truth. Because they have a way of mechanizing, analyzing, truncating, adjusting, mending, with sweetness of their mouth like butter. That causes you to believe that this thing is true. The spirit of lying. Turning white into black. Turning black into white. You know the danger of this lying spirit? Psalm 101, verse 7. A liar. He that walketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Liars don't last. Liars are only for a while. Don't lie. Tell the truth. We have a popular adage around us here. If you tell the truth, you die. If you tell lie, you die. Why don't you tell the truth and die? Amen? Why don't you tell? You will die. Whether you lie or you tell the truth, you will die. Death is the ultimate in lie. Why don't you tell the truth and die? Now, somebody by faith, under the spirit of the Lord, say with me, I will not lie again. I will tell the truth. I will stand for the truth. Help me, Lord. Receive that help right now. Receive that help right now. Receive that help right now. May you receive help to tell the truth without feeling guilty. As a teenager, I was looking for employment in the civil service in 1979. And in the civil service, according to the rules, you have to be 18 before you get a job. I went for the interview. They asked me what's my age. I told them I'm 17. I'm yet to be 18. I go back to people around me. They were abusing me. Don't have sense. How can you? This is your opportunity. Why can't you fake your age? Eventually, they gave me the job without faking my age. If they don't give me the job, I'll just go my way. Don't fake. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Don't call any truth lie, white lie. White lie will soon graduate. It's a stage. It will graduate to black lie. Lie is lie, no matter who is telling it. Truth makes tall. Lies makes lie. You lie. You go life down on the floor. Now, How do you overcome the spirit of ungodliness, including the spirit of disobedience and the spirit of lying? We must crave for the endowment of the spirit of holiness, or the spirit of godliness. Holiness, godliness is the same thing. There must be a craving. There must be a longing. There must be a strong desire. It is what you desire that you deserve. That's why the Bible says, exercise yourself. One of the ways to exercise yourself is by desiring it, panting it. Now, let me ask you, have you ever been hungry in your life before? Have you ever been hungry before? When you are hungry, anything you see, you eat. Am I right? Am I right, please? When you are hungry, what happens? Anything you see, you eat. Have you seen an hungry child before? Give him rice. No particle will drop on the ground. And if it ever drops, he will pick it and eat it. Now, that is what it means to crave and long for a thing. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, because they will be entitled to be filled with it. We have what we call the spirit of holiness. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. You need to crave for that spirit, the spirit of holiness. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power. To the measure or according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus also cried for that spirit. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. He cried. God heard his cry. In the day of his flesh, when he had offered prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, Jesus cried for it. Don't take life too easy. Pray desperate prayer for you to be free. Our world is pressing so hard on you to live in sin. Press so hard against them by crying. Father, rescue me from the contamination of this world, from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. We must also crave for the endowment of the spirit of obedience. Ezekiel chapter 26, chapter 36, verse 27. We must crave for the spirit of obedience. I will put my spirit within you, and that spirit will enable you to walk in my statutes and make you to keep my judgments and do them. To keep my judgments and to do them. To keep my judgments and to do them. You need to pray for the spirit of truth. Baptize me with the spirit of truth. Deliver me from the spirit of lying. What you crave for is what God makes happen in your life. Number two, we must cultivate godly habits. There are things to put off and there are things to put on. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Come with me quickly and look at that. But now, say with me now. Let me hear you again. Ye also put off. Put off. If the Bible says put off, you can put off. Put off your coat. Put off your shoes. Do you pray to do that? You put it off. Put off all these. Put them off. Terminate them. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Stop talking like the world. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man. You have put off the old man with his deeds. And now, put on the new man. And keep renewing in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put off. Put on. Put off. It's an exercise. Putting off your coat is an exercise. Putting your coat is an exercise. Putting on your shoes, exercise. Putting off your shoes is an exercise. So the same way you can exercise yourself. In the name of Jesus, I put off lying. In the name of Jesus, I put off deceit. In the name of Jesus, I put off fornication. In the name of Jesus, I put off hatred, bitterness from my life. Will somebody do that? I didn't hear you. Receive grace for it. Receive grace for it. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. You can do it because God said you should do it. You can do it because God said you should do it. Number three, we must follow after righteousness. Abraham did. Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 to 3. He followed after righteousness. Genesis chapter 14, verse 23. He refused to touch what is not his own. He refused to touch what is not his own. You have to follow after righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, 11, and 12. Flee these things and follow. Flee and follow. Then fight. Flee, but don't be neutral. Follow. Flee from evil people, follow righteous people. As you are following them, Satan will still want to resist you. So what do you do? Fight! 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 They bring evil to your house. Fight! No! Fight. Number four, we must engage the power of the blood for our rescue. The blood for our rescue. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame by the blood. God's servant, Bishop Oyedepo, taught us about three applications of the blood during the encounter night, the Priscilla encounter night. One way is by the sprinkling. Another way, by the communion. Another way, by the declaration. Blood warfare. By the blood of Jesus, I overcome drunkenness. By the blood of Jesus, I overcome the spirit of immorality. By the blood of Jesus. Satan is aware when you are up to fight. Satan is very aware. He knows when you are a gentleman and he knows when you are a fighter. He knows. Oh Lord, I don't want to commit immorality again. Oh Lord, help me when I get to my office. He knows that that is not prayer. Something wants to kill you and you are speaking gently. In the name of Jesus, as I go out today, I am sanctified from my head to my toes. In the name of Jesus, my look is sanctified. In the name of Jesus, my thoughts are sanctified. Watch it. That is the day Satan will not come close. Take this thing serious. You are looking too casual. That's why you are ending as casualty. You are looking too casual. That's why you end as a casualty. You too know that after certain prayer, you don't look temptable again. You don't look tempted. Everybody around you know that this is fire in your eyes. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 11 and verse 12. As for thee, also, by the blood of the covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Turn you therefore to your stronghold. Turn to the blood. Ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render unto you double. Turn to the word. Number five, take daily word bath. The word of God is the number one cleansing instrument. God's word is cure to worldliness. If you are word full, you will be free from worldliness. Worldliness exists when the word exists. If the word is not taken from you, the world cannot come into you. What did Satan do when he came to Eve? He took the word from her and put the world in her. He took spirituality away from her and put carnality in her. The word. Take daily baths of the word. Don't ask question, why did I fall into sin? You should rather ask, why did I go away from the world? Why did I go away from the world? If you come close to the world will not come close to you. You know, today, the world taking word baths. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. Wherewith shall a young man, all of you young people, you better hear this. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways from sin? So as a young man, a young woman, you can clean your way from sin. He said, by taking heed, by paying attention hereto according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander away from your commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I keep them. I stockpile them in my heart. And by that, I do not sin against you. God's word. Satan cannot come in until you are word empty. So be word full in order to be world empty. Be word full. Until you become word empty. Until you become godless. Number one, godliness will give you access to fresh unction. It takes unction to function. Fresh unction. Unction also means anointing. It means power. Those who stay Proverbs chapter 1 verse 23. Turn ye at my reproof. When God corrects you, quickly make a turn. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make my words known unto you. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 3. Jeremiah 3:3. He said, the showers, the anointing, have been withholding from you, and they have not been that rain. And thou hast a force for her because of your war, your war done. Thou refusest to be ashamed. You are doing sin like fashion. To many people now, sin is fashion. Smoking is fashion. Drinking, fashion. Many are no longer ashamed. They tell you they take weed. They tell you they take cocaine. It has become fashion. They are no longer touched. To many in the church, it's fashion. Fashion, you have your wife in your house, you have another one for a meeting, and you know you are going to meet somebody somewhere. Somebody is there in the Ungboba in Port Harcourt. Fashion. Sin has become fashion. He said, for that reason, the latter rain is withdrawn. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8. Let your garment be always white. And as a result, your head will not lack ointment. Many want anointing on their head, but their garment is impure. Garment here connotes the heart. Rent your heart and not your garment. It takes cleanliness to experience fresh anointing. Number two, supernatural prosperity. Prosperity you don't struggle for. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Where others are crying, things are not working. He says, suddenly, you'll be going forward. Behold, I will send my messenger that will prepare the way before thee. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom he delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand to appear? He is like a refiner's fire. You need a refining that will result to your prosperity. If you read down the line, you see how prosperity comes in there. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feared the Lord, that delighted in his commandment. His seed shall be might upon the heart. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Wealth and riches, he will not look for it. They will come to look for him. Say aloud, amen. Amen. Supernatural prosperity. You don't have to touch what is not your own. No. By the grace of God, we have spent 9 years in Goshen here. I've not stepped into the counting room where they count offering once. 9 years. What am I looking for there? Is it my duty? No, this is my place. The altar is my office. Amen. Don't go close to what is not yours, lest you be tempted. Don't. Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3. Joseph the righteous, even though a slave, he became prosperous in the house of his master. You can't stop a man who feared the Lord from being prosperous. Number three, it engenders all-round prosperity. Daniel enjoyed it. A slave, little boy, a stranger in the land. He proposed in his heart, he will not defile himself with the king's men. Chapter 1, verse 8. And we know what happened at the end of the day. Chapter 2, verse 46. Even the king worshipped him. The king worshipped him. Daniel never begged for anything, yet he never lacked anything. He was living in the fear of God. What was his trait? The fear of God. If all you know to do is to live in the fear of God, it's enough to bring you prosperity. Don't do magumago. Don't touch government money. Please. Many people are dying for a bill that would require only 5,000 naira for their cure. And here are people stealing the money, stockpiling the money. God will judge them. God will catch up with them. Every evil person in this nation making life uncomfortable for the common citizens, the Lord will catch up with them. I said the Lord will catch up with them. Somebody out there, lift up your hand, receive grace for fresh baptism of the Spirit of Holiness. Fresh baptism of the Spirit of Holiness. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Quickly, if you are seated here this morning, you've not given your life to Jesus, please love yourself. Stop behaving hypocritically. Stop pretending. One thing about God is this: no matter what sin you commit, he will forgive you. But if you behave hypocritically, he will judge you. I know there are people here this morning who want to say, Jesus, have mercy on me, save me. He will save you. Wherever you are, you want to be prayed for this morning, please stand to your feet. You want to be born again? You want to give your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior? Stand to your feet, please. Wherever you are, on the gallery, on the ground floor, stand to your feet. Jesus will receive you just as you are. Number two, if you gave your life to him before, but you are backslidden, the way you love God, you don't love him again. You study the word, you don't study the word again. You pray before, you don't pray again. You go for someone before, you don't go for someone again. Everything is just down, and you are not happy. You want to be restored back to Jesus this morning. Please rise to your feet.